It can be quite annoying to see someone else super excited about something you don't see the point of. It's really important to give each other grace in this journey. It is a journey.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. We have an extremely interesting guest today, a doctor, but also somebody who's very close to our hearts. Juliana Jernigan of Insured Nomads will be joining us today. And if the last name doesn't tip you off, I'll bring in my co-host, Andrew Jernigan. Andrew, one of the really interesting things that in my conversations with Juliana, and obviously you've traveled continents and countries together, is you and your family. I tip my hat to you because of the amount of resilience. You've raised family in multiple countries, different languages, different cultures. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation today, and maybe you could share a couple of the things that you have learned before we bring in our guest, Juliana, from her about family, keeping people safe, secure, healthy, etc.
Well, Alan, hi. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in with us again this week. This is a special episode for me, having my wife and co-founder on board with us for this episode. So it's a fun one for me. Yes, thinking about resilience, I first pendulum swing to the fact that you can't assume that resilience will be the result of going from country to country. Many times I think it's that assumption of, oh, kids are so resilient or adults are so resilient. Once you do this, you just build up these layers of armor that just protect you. And yes, the globally mobile do have another layer of resilience that comes in, but it takes a really proactive stance to wear that armor well. And at times you still realize there are gaps in that armor.
It's really interesting because the things I hear about people that are very successful through different cultures and different life events is people not only with resilience, but people who are adventurous and intellectually curious. And I put both of you in that area. And I think that that's really an important attribute. I think that third culture kids pick this up too, as they travel through different areas. So it's really interesting. And I'll bring Juliana in. I just want to mention to the audience a couple things about Juliana. She was raised in Brazil, but has lived in four continents, has supported travel medicine, global health, etc. But very interestingly, fought a cholera epidemic without electricity, worked on pandemic response plans. So to many of you who have reached out to us and said, listen, we would love to have a doctor or a medical professional on your podcast help us with some ideas of how we prepare before we land somewhere. Once we land somewhere, I think we're going to have a perfect guest today. So Juliana, welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. Love to have you aboard. So maybe before we talk about the details of what to do before you go, what to do when you're there, you know, some of maybe your journey as you've traveled, what have you learned globally about yourself that I think others would appreciate, and maybe what can help them through what is some really interesting adventures?
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. You started with a big question, huh? Big one. Yes, you went straight.
Yes,
there.
Yes, we do. Yes,
yeah,
we do.
I think we all agree. And I think listeners, if you're listening to us, you're probably in the same tribe in that we've come to understand that traveling is an investment. It is an investment in us, in our families. And we have an amazing opportunity, unique opportunity to grow and be expanded. And I think resilience comes in as one of the key words. You're getting stronger to resist the storms of life that will come your way. But I will add, you mentioned a few attributes that are necessary to build resilience. And I would add another attribute that is necessary if you want to be a good global citizen, and that is to be humble. One thing travel has done for me is to really teach me to be curious and to be always ready to learn. And once you realize that, it's really, really freeing, right? It's very, very freeing. And yeah. I think everywhere you go and everyone you meet, it's an opportunity for you to, you know, once you're open-minded, but to grow and expand that box.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, obviously, it's really difficult for some of the people that we've dealt with on this podcast. And we asked them the question, what got you excited about traveling to this other country or just packing up or moving and experiencing something different? And they always answer like, it had good Wi-Fi there. I would learn to surf. I could find housing. But very rarely we've had somebody say, until they've run into a problem, I never thought about checking out the medical facilities. I never thought about checking to make sure I could get a prescription refilled. That usually comes later when they've run into an issue. So I would love you to share with folks some of your ideas on what should you do before you go. So if you're packing up and you're going off to another country, some of the tips and ideas as you guys have moved for different locations around the world.
So the reason why we're going, it will vary depending on the trip. And there's so many variables there. But one thing I've learned that is just commonplace, no matter how long or how short the trip or the travel is really plan well. And even for those people who are very spontaneous and don't like to plan and don't like to spend time looking at all the possibilities, I would recommend some basic risk management. It will save you a ton of headache once you get to your destination and even maybe when you come back. And one of the things I highly recommend, and I see a lot of professional global citizens, and I see a lot of corporations, they've understood this a long time ago, is invest in a travel health consultation. So we have expert specialists in the medical field, people who actually study all the different health threats and risk safety threats around the world. And they're more than qualified to look at you, not just look at the destination where you're going and tell you the risks there, but also look at your health profile and assess your risks. How is your dental health included in this package? But also, you know, what is the risk of you actually needing to have emergency surgery and things like that. So it really, really pays off, not to mention immunization. There are so many, and I think we've been all made aware of how important immunization can be, especially in a pandemic scenario. But, you know, there are many endemic diseases that are preventable with vaccines, and we have safe vaccines out there. So absolutely worth the investment and the time to do that consultation. But also, you did mention the travel kit, right? And I would like to touch on that. Yes, because there are some practical steps that even before you start packing, or you can start thinking about it. So I always tell people, if you take medications, regular medications, have extra to take with you. So if you're staying 2, 3, 6, 12 months, try to have more than enough with you for that length of the trip, whenever it's possible. Sometimes it is not, but if it is, please do that. Keyword is plan, right? So if you wear glasses, have an extra pair with you. And other than that, look at the last year, what were the medications you use, you know, over the counter? So ibuprofen, acetaminophen, antihistaminics. So if you have a history of allergic reactions, it is good to have antihistamines for allergies, but also topical, some lotions for mosquito bites or something that can give you an allergic reaction. Antacid medicine, anti-nausea or motion sickness medicine. We all very familiar with antibacterial hand wipes and this sort of thing. But I always recommend as well to have your first aid kit. So bandages, just a basic supply that we find in a good first aid kit, including elastic wraps, gauze, tape, scissors with rounded tip. Just that first basic first aid, you will be glad that you have it. I always take with me, it will sound silly, but it is one of my hacks. I like to take safety pins. I find that safety pins work magic when you're traveling. But diarrhea medicine. So I'm not talking about antibiotics, but I'm talking about, you know, just over-the-counter diarrhea medicine. If you are prone to have diarrhea and you would like to have antibiotics, definitely this is something you can discuss with your travel medicine physician. And other than that, never go anywhere without your sunscreen. And depending on where you're going, insect repellent. It is a must-have.
Yes. You brought up something interesting to my attention. Is there people who use things like CBD oil in some countries that might be an issue? I also had people that go to Singapore have trouble with, they have a prescription for Ritalin. So part of that research, I guess, Juliana, would be also checking in to make sure your prescriptions can be refilled there or are not illegal. Am I on the right track?
That is a great point. Absolutely. So if you take, you mentioned CBD, which, you know, in the US has just become common, very common use. But most places in the world, CBD is still considered illegal, an illegal substance. And just like CBD, we have many other, especially opioids, who are considered illegal substances depending on the country where we go. So yes, it is very important. Do your homework, do your research to find out what you can actually carry with you across that border and what kind of medicine are you going to be able to refill your prescription there. And then if you find out that there is not a refill, there's no way to get that medicine there, one more reason for you to have a plan B, right? So you go with an alternative.
It's interesting, and I'll bring Andrew into the conversation. Andrew ran a medical clinic in Ghana. Andrew, you brought to my attention also that I understand that both of you try to get some sort of healthcare evacuation coverage when you were overseas and there was some issue there. And obviously you're very passionate. One of the reasons why I founded Insured Nomads is protecting people. Passionate about people also making sure that they buy either a travel medical program or a individual personal medical program. What would you like to add to Juliana's comments here?
Well, you know, duty of care, which may be a new term for some listeners, but that piece of the responsibility that sometimes when you're sent by an employer, the employer has a duty of care to that person, more than just medical, but making sure their well-being is protected. And that can't be done if they can't be evac'd out easily for a natural disaster, if a response can't be made with boots on the ground promptly. And an easy way for people to check in that's not just an email or a phone call, an easy way to track, not as a spy big brother, but there's an incident that happened, were they close to it, and getting in touch with them from the alarm center. And that was something that really has been a passion of mine, as you mentioned, just from the start, from 20 years ago, we first made our trip, first vision trip to Ghana, and then relocated there for a number of years. Remember, we ran into a crisis response firm, a couple of guys in one of the large cities, and said, can we get it? And they said, absolutely not. We serve the oil and gas companies. We serve the mining companies. You can't afford us. And it turned out that our $1,000 a month or something health plan didn't provide any of that. And we couldn't afford it with the million or so budget that we were working from at the time. And it was very sad for us, realizing that we're off the map, off the grid with black mambas, you name it. And we're not
little
really going to get evac'd out of there. Yeah. With kids that were running around barefoot with scorpions the size of a small lobster and black mambas hanging out of the trees that could bite you and you'd be dead in 30 minutes. Luckily, we made it through those years, but that was fuel for us to realize, okay, protection's got to go beyond the policy. And that's some of the impetus here. I hear some of the other things that she said there, and I'm just, my mind goes through the years. And wow, I'm glad I've got her at my side because yes, we did move to Ghana with our essential oils and different things, but you got to plan ahead for sure. And then be intentional all through the process.
I commend you because you raised children that are very multicultural. Juliana, some tips there because we've had some guests on about third culture kids and your perspective on how people respond different, the culture on that. But also, we've had a lot of conversations about the difficulty of parents and children's from a mental health perspective, because there are certain stresses that are quite a bit different when you're living in an unfamiliar atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yes. And I am very passionate about this topic, just because we've lived it, and we still do. And it has become part of our identity, really, as we moved around. And we have three kids, and they are completely different from each other, as they should be. And matter of fact, they react completely different to the change, to the transitions, to the places where we've been, the cultures where we relocated in. And mental health became a huge deal in our household. And it already was, but especially in the last few years as they became teens, we've had to process all the change and all the moves, and some great conversations came out of this. I would be lying to you if I were to say I have all the answers and we figured it out and we know how to do it now. Again, I'll use that word, being humble. I think we've all grew a lot as a family, and we've had lots of incredible experiences as a family, but also really a lot of tears, a lot of pain. It is especially hard for kids to leave friends behind. So this is one of the aspects. And of course, you've had great guests here talking about TCKs, and Ruth is one of them. I highly recommend her book about TCKs. We've gone back to that book over and over and over because we have learned that there is not a recipe, right? There is not one recipe. And it really takes a lot of dialogue, a lot of keeping up family traditions that are special to the family, and making sure, no matter how hard it may be, you may have to get really creative, but it's worth it to keep those traditions alive, but also try to have fun together. And it sounds very easy and very, you know, of course, that's a no-brainer. But when you're going through culture shock as a family together, we're all experiencing really strong emotions. We're all grieving at some level what you left behind, what the new reality is. And you are all finding out the joys of your new life, but you're finding out at different times often. So it can be quite annoying to see someone else super excited about something you don't see the point of. It's really important to give each other grace in this journey. It is a journey. I've had a conversation recently, I think it was last week, with my middle child. She's 16 now, and we're still talking about and processing things that we went through when she was 6, 7, 8. It's a very rich experience and I highly recommend it. But I also recommend, don't underestimate the power of actually dialogue and allowing feelings to be expressed. There's no small feeling. All feelings are feelings and they need to be not just felt, but expressed as well.
Well, I was just going to say, and this may be one of the reasons why I got to know Andrew, and he was very insistent that in our programs, we make sure that there is mental health support available for folks. As you've seen people out there, and I know in the individual space, that's not typical. And this is what I think is so great about what your learnings are, is what we said, that talk about it to draw people out. Andrew, I love your comments on this, because this is an area that I know you and Julianne are very passionate about, because you've seen global people not get the support to talk it out, so to speak, maybe in a professional setting, but you made sure that this was something that was in the programs that you built.
Yes. As we broach this mental health topic, it's something that is so close to my heart, as I have faced depression on the field, on an international assignment. It's not anything you can write home about, because everyone expects that you're having the greatest time living it up in some adventure. And yes, you do have the adventures, loading that roof rack of your truck, covering it with a mosquito net, with a fishing net, strapping it down, doing that day after day. And you just think, man, I wish somebody would take a picture of me, because this is surreal. Just because you think, I'm living this life. But yet the flip side is, oftentimes you are isolated. You do go through relational issues and you need that support system behind you, to where you can talk to a counselor, or your kids are going through something and they need to be able to talk to a psychologist, psychiatrist, someone. And also the debriefing after leaving international assignment. Many times relocation providers, you have CARDIS or one of the big ones, there's a little bit of a debriefing and there's a workshop that the employer provides, but searching out someone to help you process the change. Because those that you're jumping back into the next society, whether it's your original home environment or the next assignment, those around you don't know what you've been through. It's just so vital to take care of your mental health during this.
That was incredible, because we've gotten a lot of feedback that people come back from their overseas assignments at a corporation and they leave within a couple of years. And a lot of the studies indicate somebody comes back after 2 years of this incredibly impactful assignment. And I've actually had expats say to me, nobody even asked me how it was, or share some stories with us. It's just like, welcome back to your office. And it was an issue of depression. Julianne, you were going to say something along those lines, I'm sure. I'll turn it over to you on the mental health. But not asking somebody to share their experiences is really difficult for people who this might have been the most formative experience of their life.
Exactly. Before I move forward, Andrew said something about, you can't share if you're depressed, you can't share with people back home who are expecting you to have it all figured out. And actually, I would say so much has changed in the last few decades. And today, I think we would approach it differently. I think we all have a responsibility, right, to shatter, to destroy the taboo that is associated with mental health. And I think the world has come a long way in actually looking at mental health with different eyes. But you mentioned the solitude and actually not being able to relate when you come back. You're not the same anymore. There is no way you're the same. So finding a tribe that has gone through some similar experience, not necessarily the same country, but that crossing cultures and crossing borders and being stretched to the max and going through hardships and learning lessons and finding someone you can relate to, but also who has their stories as well to share with you, that it's super important.
Well, it's interesting with Simone Biles just recently, in the Olympics, you're talking about her mental health issues. And then you, Michael Phelps and other folks that, you think, boy, these people are champions. They're wonderful people, but they've gone through struggles. And you think about somebody who's run a very isolated clinic, a given location. And to Andrew's point, this is the adventure of their life. Well, not every day is an adventure if it rains for 2 weeks and yeah. everything, and there's insects around, and it's a struggle. I think the mental health portion of it is one thing. The other thing I'd love to ask you about, Juliana, is obviously a lot of our audience is very keen to learn more about telemedicine. And given that they're in a remote setting, having the ability to reach out to somebody by telemedicine. So I'd love your perspective on some of the telemedicine improvements that you might have seen from when you went 20 years ago, which there was no such thing, to now the ability for somebody to reach across and have that type of assistance.
Telemedicine is a game changer. Actually, 2006, I remember we tried setting up a program for the clinic to actually collaborate with hospitals in the US in actually discussing cases. And we had to give up just because internet was really irregular and we had so many issues. It was so hard. Fast forward 2021, during this pandemic, we had a jump. So the market was already ripe, but now it is incredible, the advancements in telemedicine. So yes, I am always in favor of actually, when you move somewhere, exploring your options in that place. Talk to locals, talk to other expats to find out what are the resources you have locally. And sometimes you have excellent resources, and it's just a bonus to be able to connect with our community, the healthcare professionals. However, there are places where that is not the case. And depending on what you have, if you're already being treated long-term with a physician that you're really close to, there is a relationship there you don't want to leave behind. Telemedicine is just gold. You can actually move and continue that relationship. And I think everyone wins in this. If you can maintain, there's continuity in the treatment.
So a couple things that we focused a bit on medical. We've talked about the importance of evacuation coverage. I do want to go on an area that I found was an issue when I visited expats around the world is dental. There was a lot of concern about the cleaning of the machinery. You don't want to get hepatitis from a local dental clinic. There was also issues with eye injuries. So I think it's also important for people to realize how they want to take care of their dental and their eye health. I know over the years, this has gotten better, but I used to talk to a lot of expats and they're like, I wouldn't even get a dental cleaning in a lot of the locations because I don't have the confidence that they're cleaning the machinery to the level that I want. I don't want to get hepatitis or some other thing. And is your feeling that things have come forward enough? I know the major cities maybe, but maybe in the remote spots, it's difficult, isn't it, to get some of this specialized care you might get in these areas?
It can be. And I think dental is a great example of looking back to what I was talking about planning. Don't quote me on this. I haven't looked at the stats in a while, but if I'm not wrong, if I'm not mistaken, I think dental emergencies is one of the main causes of actually expats having to come back to receive medical treatment back in the home country, and sometimes really preventable things. So going to the dentist before you go overseas, it pays off. It's really, really smart thing to do. As far as trusting where you're being treated, of course, that will depend on where you are. You're right, rural areas, it can be very challenging. Talking to fellow expats where you are, they tend to know really good resources. If not in your region, sometimes in the capital of that country, they have more resources. And that is the case that it's worth getting in a car or a plane and taking the time to go to where that resource is. If you're not comfortable with the risk, absolutely, find a plan B.
Plan A is always good, but it's always good to have a plan B and C, especially in the global environment. So we've asked all of our guests of the podcast over our first year here a question that we'd love to get your answer on is you've obviously varied experiences. For our nomad family, what is one overlooked person, place, or experience you would suggest that our listeners discover? We'd love to get your perspective on that.
I would highly recommend, I already mentioned it, I will mention it again, Ruth Van Reken's book, Third Culture Kids, for families, but absolutely for everyone single, married, with kids, without kids, your local travel medicine clinic. If you don't even know where it is, find out and go there, check it out, and go before you're actually planning to go on a trip so that when you decide to go, you're ready to go. You have all your shots and you are smarter.
Fantastic. And given that this is a bit of a family episode, I'd like to ask the same question of Andrew, given that he's traveled so many locations together with you and Juliana. Could you share one overlooked person, place, or experience you would suggest our listeners discover?
Wow. I am usually the one asking that. of our hosts. So it caught me off guard, Alan. So let's see. My mind immediately went to the beaches of Thailand and the food there. Now, that mango sticky rice, it may not be overlooked by so many people, but for others, Thailand may not be on your list of places to go. It may be a thing of, oh, I gravitate toward the South America or Europe. If it's not on your map, get to Chiang Mai, get out of Bangkok and go down to the beaches. Sure, enjoy Bangkok, go to the night market in Chiang Mai and things like that, but get to Thailand at some point. The kids have great memories of it as well.
And eat their food.
What's that?
Amazing food.
Yes.
I very much concur. Lucky enough to spend some time in Thailand, and I don't think you can have a bad meal there unless you're really searching for one. I mean, it's fantastic. Whether it's a small restaurant or somewhere in a market, marvelous call out on that. It was great having you with us today, Juliana. We learned a lot. This is where I go back to Andrew and ask, what did he learn today? And given that he's had many, many years of learnings from you, this might be a hard one because I'm sure you keep him healthy and safe. We appreciate that dearly. Andrew, what did you learn today?
I admire this guest so much. It's one of those things I want to ask, you know, that normal question that I usually come in here as well. I learned that, I guess I didn't really learn this, but I did see my appreciation for her, one, her intellect and her passion for making sure people are cared for. But I want to point out the best way to reach her is LinkedIn. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, this will be in the show notes, but she is a rather studious and very focused. So for social network, it would be LinkedIn, right, Juliana?
That's correct.
I would say that that was touching at the beginning there and then very clinical at the end. So it worked perfectly through a doctor there. But Juliana, we are very happy every day to have you, somebody we can talk to and keep us all safe. And certainly I do recommend to folks out there if they have questions. Obviously, there's a difference between giving medical advice, which we will not do here, to giving people good tips to keep themselves safe, because we want all of you out there to be safe and prepared. So I really appreciate your preparation, the immunization, And like the little call out, because I do use CBD and I could just see myself in a bad situation that you'd be like, I had no idea. We've seen that. And also the call out of mental health. I think there is a huge learning out there, and I commend, and I know we all do, Simone Biles and people like Michael Phelps and others who have come forward. Not just athletic community, but all over. So tremendous job today. So we do want to remind our audience that The New Nomad is not just a podcast. It's a community of people, ideas, and spirit, helping you take advantage of that location, independent lifestyle. We want to keep you safe and happy. And please report back to us some of those exciting journeys. Thanks again, and look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to The New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.